Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCBQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Vick. The Portfolio Doctors.
Welcome. Good afternoon. It is the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And we are here each week to hopefully help educate you, give you some guidance, allow you to make the best decisions you can make for your own personal situation. And
Right.
we can't emphasize that enough. There's so much media out there that's talking in such generalities. And it's in today's world, it's not that simple. It's not as easy as saying, well, okay, I can take a little bit of risk, so here's what I get.
Right. Agreed.
There's too many moving parts to that. Everybody has their own specific, unique, and unique is the key word, situation, wants, goals, needs that need to be addressed, that you just don't fit into that same box as your neighbor, your friends, your coworker, whoever it may be.
Well, the other side of things is in today's low interest rate environment, risk doesn't get you a lot anymore.
Correct.
In the good old days, at least, when interest rates on a 10-year were like 5 to 6%, and you took on a fairly risky investment, you could get 12, 15%. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, if you're getting 12 to 15%, normally the risk is off the chart. You know, there are some outliers. There's, you know, that's a big broad brush I'm painting with, you know, like we introduce our Ohio guys every month, every week. And they've got investments that could potentially get there, but for minimal amounts of risk. But in the mainstream, when you see, you know, a bond, for example, yielding 10, 15%, that's because it's got a lot of risk and hair attached.
It could be from Greece.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, they staved it off for another day or two. I don't understand why they seem to have done a delay tactic 4 or 5 times in a row now.
Well, and doesn't this look like just a deja vu? Didn't
right.
we go through this? What was it, probably 2 years ago now?
Yeah, agreed.
Where it looked exactly like what we're seeing today.
They just obviously aren't very good punters.
they didn't kick it far enough.
They need to come to the NFL and get shown up to our governments and see how you can really punt a ball properly. But right. yeah, they just didn't push it out far enough. And so here we are. And in all honesty, Greece, it's impossible to fix that problem because they have a deficit. Their industry isn't broad enough in the base to be able to get them to positive. So they constantly need money. And yet you're going to try and force them to pay it back. It's the normal way that you would get out of that problem would be to depreciate your currency so that your goods become really cheap. And then you can actually sell more through the exports and turn it around. But
right.
with them being part of the euro, they can't depreciate their currency, so that one safety valve that they've got left is gone. And that's why it's just literally, I mean, Turkey managed to turn themselves around. And the way the Turks turned themselves around was because they did exactly that. They let what is the Turkish currency? I don't even know.
No idea.
It's I know Greece was drachma and yeah, Turkey is, I'll get it later. But so the Turks, they turned themselves around by letting their currency fall significantly, which made a lot of their exports really cheap. And but the thing is, they've got a quite a broad export base, and so ultimately they turned themselves around.
The Turkish lira.
Lira, that's it. Yeah. It was either drachma or lira, but I didn't want to take a guess.
Well, here's a question, not to get you too far off topic. We've kind of jokingly, tongue-in-cheek, thrown this out there. It appears every economy around the world is struggling.
Right.
And it's all due to all the debt.
Yep.
Or at least primarily. Mm-hmm. What would be the impact of what we've joked about, creating this global bond that would pay all these debts down and then...
No, I haven't joked. That was my idea. That's why I thought it's the only way out.
Right. What would be the impact? I mean, essentially, let's take it a step further. What if there was an agreement worldwide that everyone is just erasing their books of all this debt?
Right.
Just a clean slate. What impact does that have on all of these countries? Is that just the end of each economy, or is it slate, start over? Yes, now all of a sudden you're losing all this money that you're supposed to be receiving.
No, not at all. For example, take the U.S. Let's say you created this global bond, and everyone could just wipe the slate clean. So essentially you have a global bond that all countries in the world pay into. And let's say you set the amount that the countries pay into as a percentage of, let's say, GDP. So in the year, let's say it's 1% of GDP, right? Or maybe it would have to be more. Call it 10% of GDP. No, that would be too high. 1% is right.
Let's say 5, right?
No, one is good. One is good. So that's $170 billion we'd pay into this global bond a year, right? At that point, I mean, you it's off the books. We owe $17 trillion a day. Suddenly you owe nothing. All you do is you just service $170 billion into this global bond. It's supported by all of the countries of the globe, right? So suddenly there's no debt in Europe. There's no debt in America. There's no debt in Britain or Japan or any of these countries. Everyone's credit is suddenly fixed. So you don't have this massive drain of debt on society, on all of the economies. So I think what it does is it lifts that crowding out effect and also solves the problem of how are we going to pay this back without raising taxes through the roof. Mm-hmm. So because of that, you'd be able to now function from a clean slate. I mean, it wouldn't take, you know, the countries around the world long to mess it all up again. But I mean, it would be, if they should then be able to start some kind of a balanced budget, right? And now you're all good to go again. But it would solve countries like Greece, like Spain, Portugal,
Italy,
all these countries, not to mention us. I mean, while everyone goes, oh, well, you know, we're not too bad, or Japan. I mean, Japan's at 250% of GDP. That's what their debt level is, and it's growing every day. How are you supposed to pay that back? So at this point, I think it would then take a lot of the things that are really grinding us down and a lot of the worry out of the market. And if you take worry out of markets, then things really look good, right? So that to me is a solution. It's not going to happen because there's too much political posturing. And could you imagine? We can't even agree in the Senate. How are we going to agree on a global bond?
That's what I was thinking. If we had a clean slate.
Yeah.
Our wonderful leaders would not be able to pass a budget with nothing on the slate. I can guarantee it would take to that last hour for them to say, look at us, we're working through the night, we're here you, and they wouldn't be able to put something together until the very last moment.
No. Well, they would still be burning money. It would just take the current debt and remove it, right? Mm. So that would give the Federal Reserve and the Treasury a lot more horsepower.
Right.
Because the problem that we have is if you take the debt on the books, let's say it's going to be around about $20 trillion. Let's use that for easy math. It's slightly less than that. But if you have an interest rate spike of 4 or 5%, let's just say 4, that's $800 billion you're spending on interest. Well, we can't even balance the budget right now. If you add another burden of $800 billion onto the budget, we're back into a $2 trillion hole. And that's the biggest concern. Mm-hmm. That's why when everyone goes, oh, interest rates are going up and yay, that's good. I don't understand. It's not going to, it can't happen. Right. Well, it will at some point, but it can't. It's going to be disaster.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see it play out. Well, we're gonna have some fun today, Steve. We're going to play a little game called True or False or BS.
Are we allowed to say that?
Yes.
Excellent. So stick around. When we come back, it'll be the first official Portfolio Doctors True, False, or BS. Uh-huh. We'll be right back.
This is AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is, you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Intelligent, conservative, AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show. I am Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And this should be a fun segment here, introducing a new game. We've gotten a number of questions about different kind of hot button topics, I guess you could call them. And so we want to address them in a fun, hopefully entertaining manner. So, Steve, are you ready?
I'm ready, but before we start, I just want our listeners to know that one day when this global bond happens,
yes,
they need to give us credit. Or
Everybody write a letter to the editor and say, I first heard about this.
That's right.
On the Portfolio Doctors radio show back in 2014.
Yeah.
It was the first time you mentioned it. Maybe even 2013.
I know. I've been talking about that for a long time. I just don't have any street cred at the Federal Reserve.
I think you like it that way, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so ready to jump in. We decided we're going to change the name of the game just a little bit. We got Todd a little worried. So this game is True, False, or Baloney. How's that?
Baloney.
Baloney.
That's my favorite word at my household.
Okay.
My son's full of it.
So here we go. Uh-huh. This is probably the biggest one, front and center. Interest rates are going up.
Right.
What do you say? True, false, or baloney?
I say yes and no.
Wait a minute. You got three choices, and you with two answers, you didn't choose one of the three.
I don't think they're going up in the near term. I really don't. I think, in fact, they might even head lower. But there might be some moving around with interest rates for the simple reason that let's assume the Fed does actually raise rates. I think that it'll actually just put a massive bullet through the stock exchange. And that's the only thing that's been really working for the Fed. And at that point, they'll probably have to lower interest rates again, and they'll probably go below where they are right now. So I think that's why I said yes and no. I think ultimately they'll go lower, but there might be a spike higher in the short term.
Well, it is the bond market not a supply and demand driven animal where if in fact they raise rates, that's just a number as a baseline. The stock market, if people are selling out of their stock positions, that money historically
goes back to
moves into the bond market, which is going to drive the prices up, which has that opposite effect on the yield. So even if the Fed raises their target rates, the actual physical rate that people are receiving can be getting pushed down regardless of what the Fed has done. Is that not true?
It does, but here's the deal. The only reason to me that the Fed or anyone around the globe is going to raise rates is because the economies get overheated. Now, when economies get overheated, that means you've got very low unemployment numbers, like 3%, and we're miles away from that. And then you have inflation that's starting to really pick up steam. I mean, you're talking inflation 3 to 5% at that point.
And growing
quickly. And growing, yeah. I mean, They're trying to put out the fire at this point. And the way that they do that is with interest rates, and they try and raise them up, right, to slow everything down. At that point, that to me is the time when you raise interest rates.
Right. Okay?
Not this messing around and this jawboning that we're having right now, which is like, oh, we're going to raise interest rates. Because they're trying to tell everyone, really what they're trying to do with that talk is they're trying to telegraph everything's fine. So we're going to raise interest rates. It's more about that than about, hey, we really think we should raise interest rates because the economy is not fine.
But a true economic reason to be raising rates versus just almost political.
Yeah, there's no inflation that we know of or we can see, right? I mean, we've spoken about this at length, but I mean, from the Federal Reserve perspective, there's no inflation. And also unemployment is hardly robust and neither is the economy. So why are you raising interest rates? It's just trying to get people to believe it is in a vain hope that that'll be enough of stimulus. So maybe they do it just, but at what's it, 0.25%? To me, that's not really an interest rate raise. An interest rate, if you think about it, way back in Greenspan days, remember when we saw interest rates were ratcheting up around 2000, seems like every meeting it was up another quarter point. And we eventually got to 6.5-7% until eventually everything broke apart and fell cratered down, and then he had to ratchetly take it back down again. And that's probably what you would see, but I don't see that stair-stepping anytime in the near future because the inflation and unemployment numbers just aren't there. So I don't see how the interest rates are going to really go higher anytime soon.
Okay.
How long of an answer was that? That it was supposed to be yes, no, or ballooning.
Well, you started with a yes or no, maybe. Okay, so the next question then. If we were to issue more debt to help fix our economy, is more debt going to fix our economy? True, false, or baloney?
Well, yes. I think that's a false and baloney. I think
that's better.
Yeah. No, I mean, seriously, our listeners have to know the answer to that. I mean, you can't fix debt with more debt. That's the biggest problem. The problem is really, if you think about it, the globe as a whole, right? And you've got Europe printing money. You've got Britain printing money. You've got Japan printing money. You've got China printing money. We have officially stopped, but just only about a year ago, right? But we're not really doing much to soak up that excess cash.
Right.
So it's not like we're really stopping. We just aren't printing more.
We've stopped adding to the pile, but we haven't taken anything back off
Correct.
The pile.
So everyone's printing money. Now, we stopped. So immediately, once we stopped, what happened? Our dollar got strong. what, it's not off the chart strong, but it's certainly appreciated. I mean, against the yen, for example, it's up 30% in 30 months. That's a massive appreciation. Against the euro, the euro has come from like 125 to about 110, 112. That's a decent move for the euro. And what that means is all of those countries' products are now cheaper in dollar terms, so they're able to export more. And the stuff they're exporting, like a Toyota or whatever it is, the price of that comes down, right? So what that means is when they're exporting deflation to us. So deflation is not what you want. The reason you're printing money is so you can actually see some inflation, and not just asset inflation, which is what we've been seeing. And asset inflation is so your house value goes up or the stock exchange goes up. What they're trying to see is proper inflation, which is like a ratcheting up of goods and services, the price of goods and services, so that what you end up having is companies now employ people, wages go up. That's proper, what I'm calling the actual inflation rate, not asset inflation, which is a little bubble that you create over there in the stock exchange. Then that's what everyone's after. The way you do that is you lower your currency. So that's what Europe, Japan, all these other countries are doing. Well, what they're doing is sending deflation our way. So what do you have to do? At some point, you've got to kickstart your money printing, right? So to stave off the deflation, to try and drive your currency down. So that we're all trying to fight to get currencies lower to kickstart our economies. But if everyone's printing money, then the poor guys who stop, they then
it works against them.
Yeah, it all works against them. So then they've got to go back in. So I think what we're seeing right now is that everyone's on this sort of debt treadmill. So the one or two people who actually stop, they get the wrong end of the stick, and everyone else, it's not really working. So I just see we're in sort of this debt super cycle right now.
Worldwide, not just here in our country.
So we either all got to stop or no one stops. And I think that's where we are, that it's sort of my most recent blog I wrote about this, I call the gluttony, because it seems like we're gluttons for punishment over there. And the gluttony that these Federal Reserve or central bankers of the world are doing is just printing debt that's not really working. But because it's so far into it, you just keep going and you print more and more and more. I mean, we're up $60 trillion in global debt in something like 4 years. It's crazy. How do you pay that back?
Okay, so let's quickly move to the next question based on you asking that.
That's your one, true, false, or balloony. What's it?
The financial markets.
Yes.
Are they, how do we phrase this nicely? Are they legitimately functioning?
I don't think so. I think
that's a true, false, or baloney.
Oh, I'd say false. I don't think they are, because the thing.
So you're saying it's all baloney?
I'd say it's baloney.
Okay.
And for the simple, going back to the debt, that money's got to go somewhere. And because money just doesn't evaporate. Mm-hmm. You know, the only way you get money out of the system is you start paying all the debts off, and at some point there's a flat balance sheet. But that's, we're so far away from that. It doesn't evaporate. It goes from one entity to another, and ultimately it funnels into an investment of some form. And the major recipient of that money right now is the stock market, because interest rates have been driven so low, and you've got the stock markets, the big beneficiary. So you've got stock prices that are based on a valuation of like price to earnings or the Shiller adjusted price model or whatever way you want to look at these things. We're at and around the numbers we were at in 2007, 8, 2000, and 1929. So it's like there have only been three other times we've been this high, and none of those times ended very well.
And you really don't hear many people talking about that.
Oh, why would you?
I
wouldn't want to talk that, because right, that'll spook everyone, and that'll be that.
And the wheels
right?
fall off.
That's the one thing you've got going from all of your money printing. The idea was that you print enough, it goes into the stock market rallies, which it's done, and you get what's called the trickle-down effect that actually ends up in somehow, magically, in the working man's
pocket.
Well, it didn't work that way.
Right.
The way you get that stuff to actually work, the trickle-down effect, is you start building roads and infrastructure and stuff, and you actually stimulate that way. Now people have got jobs.
Create real jobs.
Yeah, I mean, FDR did it, didn't you? What was it, the New Deal or whatever it was? Wasn't that FDR?
I believe so.
Yeah, I just go to Washington, D.C. I'm pretty certain that's what...
You better. You're more up on it than...
Those senators didn't listen to a word I had to say, of course.
It's the accent.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, when we come back, we'll continue with our little game here, true, false, or baloney. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ AM 1170, The Answer.
Saying, I don't know, is no longer acceptable. This is AM 1170, The Answer.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
AM 1170, The Answer. Everywhere you go on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. It is The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
Today we're having a little bit of fun, playing a little game here. So far, Steve, I don't think fully grasps the concept or the rules of it, but...
I think I do. I think he asks the question and then dozes off while I spend the next 10 minutes answering him.
You could be a good politician, I think.
I would be the worst politician in the universe. I actually tell it the way it is. That's a problem if you're a politician. Yeah.
Not here anyway.
No. Well, not anyway.
That kind of leads to the next question then.
Mm-hmm.
Our leaders, our congressmen and our senators.
Yes.
Understand that they were elected by us and represent us in all their decision making and what they fight for. True, false, or baloney?
That's false. I don't even have to answer more than that.
It's not even baloney?
No. It's funny because, seriously, jokes aside, I was actually in Washington, D.C., and I did meet with a few senators. And it's quite incredible how they will actually tell you face to face how they're working like crazy to, you know, help small business and, you know, promote various topics towards the, put them on the floor and, you know, all of that stuff and bring them up and fight for their rights of their constituents. And I mean, seriously, then on the flip side, because they were putting something together for small business apparently in Hawaii, right? And, but there wasn't any money to fund for it. But they'd found a loophole that there was another fund that was set up for something completely arbitrary, different, right? It had nothing to do with small business, Hawaiian small business, but it had $30 billion. So they managed to...
Oh, is it Social Security?
No, I'm hoping Social Security has more than $30 billion otherwise. Well, all Social Security has is IOUs, I think. Right. But anyway, so I think this was another one of those IOU funds that in principle had $30 billion that they managed to get like $15 billion of it. And they were all very pleased with themselves because they had actually managed to do this. And I'm thinking to myself, well, wasn't that earmarked for something completely different? And how are you going to actually pay this money back to that fund if it's ever needed? And I mean, is that really doing your job? Just stealing money out of some other pot of money? And I think that's what a lot of it is done. What happens there?
Well, that's, I think, one of the biggest problems we face is they've been borrowing. Like you said, the Social Security is just IOUs.
Yeah.
It's because that money was building up, wasn't being used. So, well, let's just take it. We'll put it back when it's needed.
Did you ever watch a movie, Dumb and Dumber?
I've seen pieces of it. I don't think I've ever seen the whole thing all the way through.
Dumb and Dumber, right? They're these guys, and for those listeners of ours who never saw it, it's a real tongue-in-cheek, you know, a stupid movie,
slapstick-y.
Really. Yeah, slapstick nonsense. But the only reason I bring it up is because they find the suitcase that's really like a drug dealer's or someone's suitcase. Oh, it was for, I forget what it was anyway. And so, and they open it up and there's like millions of dollars in there, right? So they head to give the suitcase back because there's a card in there. And the long and short of it is they finally deliver the suitcase and the guy opens it and all there's in there are IOUs because they spent all the money trying to get there, right? And the reason I bring it up is it's sort of how our government's operating. You know, there was a suitcase of money at one point in time, but we can happily spend it everywhere else.
Sure,
and
any
somehow,
other.
I mean, and it's the same thing as the Dumb and Dumber example I gave you, was here you've got these two goofballs that would never be able to repay even $20. I mean, all they were working as was they turned their car into dog washer. So they'd wash dogs. Now, how are you going to replace $10 million with washing dogs? And it's the same thing. How exactly are you going to replace all of these empty supposed IOU type promises with nothing when you can't even balance the budget?
Right.
So that's it's sort of the same thing, right?
And that's one of the reasons I brought this question up is it really seems lost that any of our representatives represent us anymore. They're just fighting for their job. They're almost dictating to us what we can and can't do any longer, where it's not representing the interests of those people that have elected them.
And that's what I've been saying for years. And there's a good article written about this the other day where the playing field over the years, and I've only been in this country since the mid to late 80s, right? So I haven't been here my entire life. But in that time, I've watched the playing field just tilt towards big business. Mm-hmm. And an article I read recently really summed it up, whereas in the past, and they even cited the late 70s to early 80s, businesses weren't represented in Congress. They weren't really funding these handing out of money, what's it called, super PACs and all these other things, right? Now they've gone the other way and they're almost taken over Congress.
Right.
And it's all running, big business.
Running Congress.
So they are getting their interest groups in there, they're getting their lobbyists in there, they're getting what they want on the agenda, and that suddenly has changed Congress's thinking, and a lot of these laws that are written protect big business at the expense of small business, and I've witnessed it firsthand, and it's that, to me, is the worst thing that's happened so far. I think we can get out of any mess if you have enough of an incentive for people to go out, create small businesses, try out their ideas. It's where 80 or 90% of people get employed. It's the engine of growth. It's the engine of knowledge and intellectual property. That's what we need to be concentrating on. But unfortunately, as you've asked a political question, the politics of the country is very much ear bent towards large business. And it's created a very big problem in this country as far as I can see. I mean, the politicians are always, they never agree anyway.
Right.
But the problem is that the laws and things that they're implementing And it's regardless that, I mean, big business doesn't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican in there. They just want to back a winner. Mm-hmm. And some of them back everybody, both sides. They don't care. Just once the guy
right, or just be
guy,
right.
The woman or the man is in there, they've got some money there that they can, you know, have them listen. Right.
Pull the strings that they need to accomplish.
And yeah,
we've got
to change that. And I don't know how. I really don't.
Okay.
So that's an I don't know question.
I don't know. Well, when I first asked it, you went straight, it was false. So you can't waffle here. You're sounding more and more like a politician to me.
I tell you, man. Yeah. Maybe.
Come on, make a decision.
Aren't I supposed to answer the question?
No. What is false?
Yeah.
Is that your answer?
Right, that's exactly right. Oh, my word.
Okay, yeah. So let's take it on a bigger scale now.
Right.
Next question. The global economy as a whole, because there is always this talk that we have entered this time where it is a global economy.
All
it's
right.
No longer the U.S. economy, Europe or England or China or Japan, that it is this global economy. And there's a lot of truth to that because every business is international now, a big successful business anyway.
That, you don't even have to be big and stuff.
Right.
You know, seriously, with the internet, you can be shipping products all around the globe.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, go ahead.
So is the global economy, and we touched on this early about the different situations with Greece and how that could trickle through the rest of the world, but is the global economy strong enough to solve the problems?
No, what do you mean as far as get us out of this malaise? I don't see it.
Or wait, I have to rephrase it if it's true, false, or baloney.
The global,
and I'm putting the air parentheses, the global economy is strong enough to work its way through the current difficult times.
No, I don't think so. I think that's a false. I think my biggest concern right now is that there's some kind of economic shock, and I don't know what that is going to be, what it might be. But we've had a situation where this bull market in the stock exchange and the supposed recovery, so the supposed growth from 2000, call it January of 2009.
It was actually March.
Yes, I know.
It was the very bottom.
Yeah. It's been uninterrupted. And it's one of, I think it's like the sixth or the seventh longest recoveries in the history.
Without a correction on the way back up.
Or a recession. Right. So we are way overdue for both.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have that type of correction or recession now, I think number one, it's going to be a global type recession because we're all so in bed with everybody else that I think that's the first problem. Number two, which to me is the bigger worry, you've already got interest rates way down. You've already printed trillions of dollars. Nothing's really worked. So what is left in your chamber, you know, your bullet chamber to fight this off? I don't think you've got anything left other than you can run around, you know, saying bang, bang, bang like kids in the street. But I don't think you really have any ammunition left to stave off the next recession. That's, to be honest, one of the reasons why I think the Fed's sort of looking, going, maybe we should just jack interest rates up just so we've got something we can say, hey, we're lowering interest rates again.
So we can lower them again and put a positive feel
back
in.
Yeah, but the problem is you do that and maybe that's the trigger that triggers everything off. So I don't know. I don't see that it's helped. I don't see that we've got the money in the right places. I don't see that there's any traction anywhere. I see we've staved off probably the worst financial crisis we've ever had,
sure,
probably by creating potentially a worse problem. Because maybe the financial crisis was nothing compared to all the governments in the world just suddenly all in massive budget deficits because interest rates go to 10%. Could you imagine?
Wow.
10% interest rates around the globe on $80 trillion is $8 trillion more in interest that these governments have to pay, which means you and I have to somehow pay it because You know,
right? They don't pay it out of their pockets. That's where the trickle down happens.
It doesn't just trickle. Yeah. It's more like a waterfall.
The debt problem trickles. Yeah. Just like drinking out of a fire hose. Is that the analogy?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I don't want to be doom and gloom, but I mean, it just seems as if the policies that we've been undertaking have been wrong. And it was fine. I thought this whole money printing, lowering interest rates was perfect when you had 08, 09. I mean, yes, step in and fix it.
Right, but you had to, because there was a situation that if it was allowed to go much further, most every bank in the United States was shut down.
Correct.
Just out of business. People were going to just continue to take their money out and it was over.
It was over. And so, but now I thought to me, from 2011, they should have stepped out of the ring and just let it go. But here we are. And now everyone's doing it.
Sure. Because it's been working for the markets, and that's always the...
But that's all that is working.
Right. But that's what people pay attention to. So that's the big ticket item that people get excited about.
So
that's why they're doing it. So, well, stick around. We'll continue our conversation here. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
AM1170TheAnswer.com. Hear us anywhere in San Diego and the world. AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors. Hope everyone's enjoying this strange San Diego weather.
You said it was raining.
Yes, I got rained on pretty hard on the way to the studio today. Although you were dry as could be when I saw you. You didn't even realize that it was raining outside.
No.
So. See, again, you're perfect. Politician, you got your head in the sand, you're not paying attention to what's going on around you. I think we got a career for you.
Here's the one lucky thing for this country and our listeners is because I wasn't born here, I can't become president.
Well, There's still questions. I mean, it's not necessarily completely no chance.
And unfortunately, if I can't get to the top, I don't start. So if I can't become president, no point in playing the game.
You don't want to be one of those little peon senators or congressmen.
Have you seen those pictures of before and after the president, when they before presidency and then afterwards, and in 4 to 6 years or 8 years? I mean, they age about 45 years.
I remember watching Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And remember how...
He was like a young...
How slick looking he was early on. And literally 6 months in, I remember seeing pictures of him and saying, whoa, what happened to this guy?
Yeah. No, that's a big toll.
It definitely takes it out
of
you quick.
Money and power. Mm-hmm. That's why, in all honesty, when you look at... that's why you shouldn't worry about what your neighbors and that are doing, you know, because it's just not worth it. It's too much stress on people. And that's why... One of the reasons we have this show is, I mean, to eliminate some of that stress. If you don't worry about what other people are doing and you just focus on your own returns and on getting yourself where you need to be, the stress is enormous that it comes off you.
Right. And that's actually a conversation I have with any new client is from the point we start working together moving forward, they cannot pay attention to the media.
Right.
Especially when it comes to the financial markets. If you want to watch the Kardashians, I'm not going to endorse that, but I'm not going to tell you no, you can't.
Right.
I mean, it's good comedy, but
is it? I've never watched it.
I'm guessing. But whenever I have a client call me and says, "Oh, I was reading," or I really love when they say, "I was watching Jim Cramer," and I think this is going to happen, so we need to. I stop them right there. And say we cannot make any decisions based on anything Jim Cramer says or anything you hear on CNBC or anything you read in the paper.
So here's a question.
They don't know your situation.
Here's a yes, no, or balloony,
it's
or true,
false,
or balloony. Okay. A financial advisors have their client's best interest at heart. See, these aren't so easy.
Right,
now.
That's not as straightforward.
That's what I've seen.
Because there's such a wide range of people that fall under the financial advisor role.
So how do you determine whether that's a true?
Well, the easiest, biggest one is if someone works at a big wirehouse or broker dealer, which would be the Merrill Lynch's, the Morgan Stanley's. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great people that are trying to do what's best for their clients in firms like that. The reality is when you work for a firm like that, you have to do what the firm says.
A large way, part of the way,
So that means you're putting your firm, your company's...
Unless you've got like a $50 million, right?
Right, then
suddenly it's all bets. That's a whole different story,
Sure. But even then, not entirely necessarily, but... With that situation, that means the advisor has to do what the company wants first, which means he's looking out for the company's best interest first, clients secondarily.
Right.
The best way to get around that is look at someone who's independent and affiliated with an RIA, which is a registered investment advisor. Because in that scenario, they have a fiduciary responsibility, and this is why... There's been this big, big pushback on the fiduciary standard going back and forth through the SEC, through, I think it's even through Congress and the Senate, about what the definition is and do the broker-dealers fall into this. And the broker-dealer world has been fighting that as hard as they can.
What do you mean by this exactly?
Whether their advisors should be held to the fiduciary standard.
So who is then as a broker-dealer? No one?
Right.
No one's held
right.
to that
They're
standard.
Not held.
Wow.
Which... That right there should be a big red flag saying, hey, proceed with caution, because they're fighting against having to have the client's best interest first and foremost.
You see, once again, it's back to what I was talking about earlier, where the playing field has been skewed so that they're able to advertise and market and do stuff that, you know, most people shouldn't be allowed to do because of the way that the laws are written.
Well, just look at what Goldman Sachs. There's a huge contingent of people that believe Goldman Sachs single-handedly got our president elected.
Really?
I don't know exactly how they would do that, but whether it's people they're affiliated with, businesses, amounts of money flowing to different parts of the economy, the world, the special interest projects. I don't know. But that goes right along with what you're saying. The big business is kind of controlling.
Yeah.
And I'm not big on the conspiracy theories, but
right.
I have heard numerous people bring that up, and I always roll my eyes and kind of chuckle about it. But it does go right in line with what you've mentioned.
Yeah. So, I mean, the answer then is, if it's an independent, you probably a little
much,
bit.
Much higher probability, correct, because they are, and there are audits. The regulators come in and audit and make sure, first and foremost, if there's an investment portfolio, that it aligns with the client's goals, or at least their risk tolerances. And, right. and it's not just some canned, here's the best product, filled with investments that are funneling money back to the company.
Right.
That should not exist in a registered investment advisor world, although it could.
Right.
I could see that being there, but generally they will have your best interests.
Right. Huh. Well, that's interesting. I mean, it's certainly for people out there, and you don't have to have a lot of money to find a good investment advisor.
Right.
You know,
right.
you just have to just know the right questions to ask, and that's one of the reasons that we sit here week in, week out, pounding my head against the microphone so that we can educate you guys out there and really give you some ammunition to get out there and find out what's going on, plus hopefully educate you in some of the movements of the market and get your house in order, your financial house in order.
Right. And one of the biggest things we want to emphasize is that what you want to do, what you want to accomplish, what your goals are, what's most important to you is all that should really matter when it comes to building your financial plan,
right?
Your investment portfolio. Every moving piece should be based on those important things specific to you and your situation, not having anything to do with your neighbor who peeks over the fence and says, oh, yeah, my stock portfolio is up 30% this year.
Right. And we've also shown you that in the true, false, and balloony questions, there wasn't once a true, a false, or a balloony.
Correct.
There you go.
So it's just not that easy.
Exactly.
Well, thank you again for listening. If you have any questions, we get many questions. That's a lot of our questions that we threw out there in the game today are based on questions we've received from listeners. So please reach out to us, email direct steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. Also visit us on the web at theportfoliodoctors.com. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.